Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, Doctor, Mr. MD, now can you tell me?
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk Live. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. We got a great show. Magical Engineer Frank and I, we got it all wrapped up in a big bow on it. We're going to talk about how to get rid of heavy metals tonight. Also, I have on the list, we're going to talk about some, cancers on the list and as well as longevity. Got lots to talk about and a quack report. Oh, and we even have a clip we're going to play in a little bit. We've played it before, but it's a good inspirational reminder of who we are here in America. We have a quack report, but before we do that, big salute and Semper Fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I, of course, as you know, pray for them always and for all of America. I'm praying for righteous leadership. I want righteous men with steels for backbone to stand up against wickedness and unrighteousness and to bring some justice back. Isaiah 59 says we're to plead to the Lord for truth and justice, because that's the only thing he owes us, really. You know, if we get anything else, it's a plus. So let's hit the knees, seek the Lord's face, you know, find salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Mind the time. It grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. What do we got here in the quacker? Let's see. This is a report from a Jean Twin. She's a social psychologist in the San Diego State University. She wants to explain why the millennial generation is more anxious. There's like a 80-year high of anxiousness, according to her. 70 years ago, she states that we were told that was the greatest generation, World War II generation. She said later came Generation X, known as the slacker generation. Then today are the millennials, she says, and they're turning out to be, according to her, the most anxious generation. Well, I tend to agree. People are very anxious. Now, recent studies, she says, have shown that the millennial generation suffer from anxiety at a much higher rate than any of the generations that preceded them. So they said that they're the first generation to be raised with the internet. They're the first generation to experience helicopter parenting. They're constantly exposed to social media. They're not the first generation to experience a rough economy, but they certainly act like they are. And she goes on to say that a lot's been written about how delicate and tender the millennials are. But she says sometimes they're absurd. You know, she says they don't like to eat cereal because it's apparently too much cleanup involved. Too much cleanup? It's a bowl and a spoon, right? Anyway, she says also marriages are happening later or not at all. As the family structure is changing, I'll say. Well, I think we got anxiety running amok. And instead of the drugs, you might want to check out some herbs. I personally like my herb of choice if there's a bit of anxiousness or panic attack. I like valerian root. Use it in a liquid. It works much better if you haven't tried it, and use it in liquid. All right, moving along. Last but not least in the quack report, here's a little report on bread, fast food bread to be exact, you know, the buns that they put the burgers on and the fried chicken patties and whatnot. They say that these foods from big foods, you know, the fast food companies, they put a lot of unhealthy ingredients in their breads to preserve the shelf life, because that's their first concern is profitability, and the longer the stuff lasts, the better. So bread that lasts over 10 days or even 2 weeks is the goal for the big food companies. And in order to do that, you know it's got chemicals, right? So I don't know, just go take the bread test. Get a loaf of bread at the store. Put it on your kitchen counter and let it sit there. I bet you'd be there a month before you see any signs of mold. But they said in order to achieve a lot of the long shelf life, they have to pump these buns with artificial man-made chemical ingredients. And one of the common ingredients is called a dough conditioner. But what it really is, it's the chemical name is azodicarbonide. And that chemical is used to make yoga mats and shoe rubber. So dough conditioner has been linked to respiratory problems, allergies, asthma, according to the WHO. And when you heat the stuff, it breaks up into two compounds that have been associated with tumor development and cancer. So whatever you do, don't reheat that bun. And bread sold in grocery stores or fast food chains are going to have dough conditioners. Other ingredients you might find inside this, I don't even know what you want to call it, bread, but it's artificial trans fats, bleached agents, caramel coloring, natural and artificial flavors. Just, you know, get some real bread, just, you know, a couple of ingredients, maybe four, yeast, flour, water, you know, hey, not a whole lot to go there, and you get some real bread. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Thanks, Frank. Oh, I used to make my own bread all the time. And I would knead that dough, let it rise. I love the smell of fresh baked bread. Can't beat it. Ah, tastes so good. I mean, your family scarfs it down. It doesn't last at all. You don't have to worry about it going stale. It's gone. I love making bread. All right. Right before we get to all the health info that we're going to impart unto you, liberating you and powering you, we got a little clip by Red Skelton. Remember him? Those of you? Yes? Okay. So he's telling us about the Pledge of Allegiance, and we've played it before, but I think it's a nice thing to play every once in a while. Tell us, you know, our roots, for who we are. Well, play it.
But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell. He says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose, all divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others, for all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools too?
Well, you know, just listen to that. You can see how far we've slid. Yes? And, you know, if you read your Bible, country is referred to as mother in Scripture. So if you love your mother, and I know you guys out there do, it's about time we start showing how much we love this country and standing up for what God gave us, right? I think so. You know, without fear or harassment, but we have to come together. The divide is wide, but with God's help, he can stand in the gap and help us restore. He's a restorer. That's what he likes to do. Let's ask him for that. Don't forget. All right, we're going to talk about mental madness, your heavy metals, how we can avoid that problem. Because a lot of people say, are heavy metals, you know, is metal toxicity a real threat? People kind of, you know, doubt it's a problem. Well, you'd think that in our modern age, we would have learned how to avoid overloading our bodies with metals, and it would be extremely a rare thing, right? But in reality, we live in a time where metal poisoning is more likely to happen. So according to Dr. Joseph McCullough, metal poisoning is so common that everyone has some metal toxicity. So we're going to check this out and see what's happening and what we can do to protect ourselves. First, let's look at a few statistics. According to the National Organization for Rare Disorders, everyone is at risk of metal poisoning, and therefore it affects everyone. So the level of exposure may vary, but male, female, old, and young, we're all at risk. So how do we get poisoned? What are the ways that we get exposed to this? Well, again, the National Organization for Rare Disorders reports that in the United States, there are a number of reports on how people can get metal poisoning. So here's the major, but it's a list, but it's a brief list. There's many more ways, but we're going to just cover the big ones, okay? First up is cookware. It's very common for imported cookware entering the United States that has been improperly coated, and it contaminates the food that you eat. The next one is water. Recently, we've had several reports of lead in water supplies due to neglected municipal water systems not being replaced. There are lead pipes. And 20 years ago, lead poisoning by water supply was practically unheard of in the United States. So prior to these reports, the likelihood of children being poisoned by lead in their water was relatively low, and that nationwide, 85% of the children had no harmful lead blood levels. Next up is food. Let's say let you eat some fish on a regular basis, and it has exposed you to some metals, because the fish tend to have mercury. Medical treatments, if you have, metal fillings, amalgam fillings, they call them, containing 50% mercury. It also has silver, tin, and copper there. And in small amounts, these metals are released into your mouth when it's under pressure, when you chew, grind, or brush your teeth. Now, professionals that work in the dental industry are also exposed to these metals when working with them. So various medical devices or implants can also provide heavy metals. Also, vaccines made the list because most of them contain heavy metals, especially mercury. And some occupations can expose us to metal toxicity. People that work in agricultural or pharmaceutical fields are going to be exposed to the heavy metals, as well as the dentistry, so forth. All right, let's talk about how the body reacts to this. According to science, if heavy metals build up in the body, they can do some major damage. Now, some people may not notice the subtle symptoms to a serious risk as this. And in a majority of the medical cases, the symptoms actually are going to probably be diagnosed as another disease altogether. So the best plan of protection to avoid, metal toxicity is prevention. So, however, given our toxic environment, it can be harder these days to avoid toxicity than the previous generations. Well, let's take a look at this mercury. Let's examine one of the most common heavy metals that we encounter today, and that's mercury. You'd think that because it is such a threat to our health that it would not be used as much as it is. But it is a scientifically proven neurotoxin and therefore is toxic to your brain. But it's used in dentistry. You know, so why is mercury used in filling cavities? Well, we're told that it is a metal that binds well to the other metals together and is easily manipulated to fill the holes in teeth. Now, some may argue, well, why not just use gold? Well, certainly gold is less toxic. However, it's not as durable. So today, many dentists are not even using the amalgam fillings, and they've switched over to the ceramic substances instead. However, it requires more time to work with those substances, and they're not as long-lasting, not as durable. It's also estimated, get this, it's estimated that over 100 million Americans, that's 78% of the population, have amalgam fillings containing mercury. And interestingly, of those with these fillings, Dr. McCullough reports that 95% of them have medical disorders, often affecting the central nervous system, such as MS, epilepsy, paralysis, migraines, etc. Now, studies on the amount of mercury vapor that emits from these fillings is about 10 times more than people who don't have those fillings. So I've often heard that these fillings kind of act like a battery in the mouth, and they emit these charges releasing these vapors, these mercury vapors. So apparently the vapor release cannot be avoided. So normal wear and tear, like chewing gum, brushing your teeth, drinking certain liquids, tend to release these vapors. Now, if you decide to replace these fillings, you want to do your homework and find a dentist that's experienced in removing the mercury fillings, because you don't want to have the process done, especially when you're ill. So I would wait until you're better. So if you do decide to remove your fillings, if it were me and I wanted to remove mercury fillings, I would boost up my immune system with immune boosting herbs 2 weeks prior to my appointment, and also take them afterward. And I'd also do the system organ cleanses immediately afterward to clear any toxicity that may have, you know, slipped by. All right, let's look at the vaccines too, which tend to contain the thimerosal, which is really 50% ethyl mercury by weight, and it's used as a preservative in vaccines. So we'd like to believe, you know, that the pharmaceutical industry has removed the mercury from all vaccines, but that's just not the case, including the childhood vaccines. The mercury is still in the hepatitis B, the DPT, the tetanus, and the HIV. So a child's nervous system is pretty much still developing, and the use of mercury as a neurotoxin, not a good idea. This is a constant assault on the child's brain and nervous system. And the reason I say constant is because today, children are to be given 59 doses of mercury-laced vaccines before the age of 6, and 69 doses before they're at the age of 18. So you'd think that mercury would not be in vaccines after the American Academy of Pediatrics and the CDC recommended it be removed. But then again, the FDA rejected corn syrup as detrimental to the pancreas in the early 1900s, yet it's in just about every prepackaged food now. So Dr. McCullough says that there are thimerosal-free vaccines, but often the package inserts are not accurate to report what's actually in the vial. So you got to wonder there as well. So what is the lead risk? Let's look at lead. Well, more Americans are exposed to lead, and we're not just talking about lead-based paint. There's leaded gasoline, lead batteries, petrochemicals like rubber has lead in it. And some industries have been working hard to remove the lead, such as in the paint and also now the lead-free gas. So we need to be aware that our water sources, they shouldn't be near incinerators or toxic dumps, which can easily be contaminated with lead. And aluminum's on the list as well as a toxin. We are exposed to more aluminum than we think we are. And most people associate aluminum toxicity with Alzheimer's disease. However, Too much aluminum can actually cause other conditions as well, such as osteoporosis, nervous conditions, anemia, headaches, liver or kidney failure, memory loss, and speech problems. So, how are most people exposed to aluminum? Well, you can pick up too much aluminum using certain cooking utensils, aluminum foil, beverages and food cans, baking powder, antiperspirants and acids, diarrhea drugs, anti-inflammatory medications, pain relievers, female douching products, processed salt, and most of all, your refined food products. So science has noted that Alzheimer's patients have 4 times the amount of aluminum in their brain nerve cells. So how can you tell if you want to check to see if you're metal toxic? Well, if you want to check to see your level of metal poisoning, you can have a hair analysis done or check your blood pH to see if it has too much acid. If you have heavy metal toxicity, it makes you retain more sodium and could also push up your blood pressure. So metal toxicity is definitely one of those silent killers. So how can you detox these heavy metals? Well, there are some powerful herbs that can assist the body to purge the metals out of the body. So if you were concerned about metal toxicity, you would do some of the system organ cleanses, and I would do all the way to the blood system. So we especially want to protect the heart, the liver, and the kidneys from these heavy metals. So a few research studies in the United States and Europe suggest that chlorella, which is a green algae, helps the human body break down the metal toxins of mercury, cadmium, and lead to cleanse the body of these metals, and it also strengthens the immune system as well. So how long it will take to purge all the heavy metals really depends on your level of toxicity, but on average, by the time a person has completed 4 cycles of cleansing, or in other words, has completed the major organ cleanses one after another, one time every 3 months, so you do it once a season, in other words, they have significantly reduced their risk of retaining those heavy metals. It is also going to be important to exercise prevention. You know, you want to avoid recontaminating your system, so you want to do that. So what about these cleanses? Well, it is really important that when you do your cleansing, that you cleanse one organ at a time, unless it's recommended otherwise. And you want to avoid overtaxing your system with too much cleansing at one time, and you would reabsorb toxins in those cases. So for this reason, I would never do what is called a total system organ cleanse all at once. You always start with the bowel, you cleanse the bowel, and then you move to the urinary tract, the bladder, the kidney area. Next is the liver. And if you still have your gallbladder, you can cleanse the gallbladder with the liver because those organs work together to purge toxins. And then the blood system is last and is especially needed to remove a lot of mercury from the brain that may still be lingering there. So it's also going to be important to refortify your system with nutrients that can also be drawn out during the cleansing process. So this is what you want to look for. You definitely want to look for, you'll find the certified organic herb cleanses for the major organs and the blood system at Apothecary Herbs. They have the chlorella ingredient in their body foundation food mix that you could use during your cleansing. To avoid the processed salt that contains the aluminum, you might want to check out their Celtic Sea Salt, which has the 84 microminerals, and it is cardiovascular friendly. And check out the Crystalux natural deodorants there to avoid the aluminum in the sundry items. They also have immune-boosting herbs, digestive herbs, diarrhea herbs, pain and anti-inflammatory herbs, so you can skip all those drugs with aluminum. Give them a call, toll-free, to order or to get a free product catalog. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 704-885-0277 or thepowerherbs.com. We'll be right back.
The stars won't come out if they know that you're about, 'cause they couldn't match the glow of your eyes. And oh, who am I just an ordinary guy, trying hard to win me first prize. Oh, Candida, we could make it together. The further from here, girl, the better. Where the air is fresh and clean.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Sugar, you are my candy girl, and you got.
Shift gears, and we're going to be talking about some cancer here in a little bit. But before we get to that, I have on my desk an announcement coming up real soon, this Thursday, the 24th, the folks at Apothecary Herbs, in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to have a big sale, 20% off. Yep, orders of $75 or more when you use their code, which will be on the homepage soon. On thepowerherbs.com. Now, if you signed up for the newsletter, you got this information already today. Okay, so you're going to be ready. And the sale does expire on Monday the 28th. So you have a few days. You know, if you want to do your detoxing, you can save 20%. So very cool stuff. Thepowerherbs.com. All right. If you don't have internet, you can also ask for the discount over the phone. So don't forget. You just give them a call at 866-229-3663. All right, we're going to talk about cancer laws for a minute. Some people may not be aware or believe that there's even a plan for global health care, and it's being used to really take away a lot of our health care freedoms. Now, a real big clue is when countries have similar laws, and in some instances are almost word for word. So countries which are thousands of miles from the United States are under the European Union's guidelines with regards to therapeutic products and treatment. Yet Europe's laws seem to be influencing congressional laws in the United States. And one may suspect this is a very subtle way of incorporating the European Union's harmonization laws for global dominance. So one area of health that seems to be harmonized is with regards to cancer. So we're going to take a look and see where this is going and how this may impact our healthcare. First of all, there's a lack of a guarantee, because in allopathic modern medicine, you notice there's no guarantees with the treatment, no guarantee of success. So there are really no refunds either given in modern healthcare. And you would think that with all the clinical trials and the tests and the boasting of success and of the treatments that patients could expect some, you know, form of restitution if the treatment fails. But, however, that's never been the case in the occupation of modern medicine. Well, let's look at some articles, because for decades, pioneers in natural therapeutic approach to cancer really couldn't get their research published in the press or in any health journals. For research, if research was published, editors would choose the ones to publish. And a lot of times it was poor methods of testing, which, you know, in which they neglected the dose range or didn't establish a useful dose. Okay. Usually publishers or editors would go with those studies in lieu of some natural ones that actually work. So when mankind is really empowered with information from diverse sources and has, you know, and all this information is readily available, it actually can help you, me, all of us with our healthcare decisions. So the cost of proving a therapy works, pretty enormous. If you want a treatment or therapy to be recognized as effective, you have to play the medicine rules. It's played by medicine's rules. According to Forbes magazine, the cost of a clinical trial can range from $1.3 billion and up. So regardless of the natural therapy working or not, if you don't have the money to prove that it, you know, by scientific methods, then you're not going to be taken seriously, and you're not going to be able to share this knowledge relatively easily, and you will be severely discouraged. So any unproven forms of therapy, especially for cancer, are labeled as pseudoscientific, and science regards them as quackery. Mm-hmm. Wikipedia, some people don't like the source of Wikipedia, but they've listed alternative cancer treatments they say have typically not undergone proper conducted, well-designed clinical trials, and as a result have not been published due to publication biased, refusal to publish the results of a treatment outside the journal's focus area, guidelines, or approach, end of quote. Well, yeah, there could be publication bias. I agree with that part. So let's look at the way that they treat cancer with Mother Nature. Some of the new terms that patients are encountering in the healthcare are complementary or integrative medicine, and often these two areas are grouped in with alternative forms of healing arts. So who do you think initiated combining these practice terms as if they were the same thing? Well, apparently it was the White House Commission in 2002. A supposedly well-known researcher in complementary and alternative medicine, Dr. Barry Kasulf at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, and according to her, there's this critical difference, though, between complementary medicine and alternative treatments. Complementary medicine is still scientific, she says. It's allopathic medicine, which may also use some natural forms of therapy. So in this area of medicine, it's said that the physicians use drugs as a last resort. So if using a complementary physician for treating cancer, the doctor will be basically a general practitioner, an MD, rather than an oncologist, you know, your cancer expert. And we're told that 60% of mainstream medicine patients are referred to complementary medicine doctors. And about 22 to 46% of cancer patients in the UK and Australia actually seek out complementary physicians. So in complementary medicine, the treatment for cancer can include what naturopaths and herbalists use, you know, diet changes, antioxidants, vitamins, and some, you know, anti-cancer type herbs. So I can tell you, the naturopaths and herbalists aren't going to be as expensive. Yeah. Well, let's look at some of the cancer acts, you know, the laws. As I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of countries with similar laws with regards to healthcare treatment, especially in the area of cancer. Now, in 1939, the UK drafted the Cancer Act. So this act blocks patients from receiving unauthorized cancer treatments and information on unauthorized treatments. So they even can't even get info. That's in the UK. So physicians in the UK are threatened with losing their professional standing on their medical register, which is equal to a US doctor losing their license to practice, if they step outside the boundaries using any treatments not approved of by the National Institutes of Health and Care Excellence. Now, in 1971, President Nixon and the U.S. Congress enacted the National Cancer Act, and one of the reasons it was created was to strengthen the position of the National Cancer Program and create a National Cancer Advisory Board. And, of course, you know, taxpayers did pay for this at the tune of about $243 million a year. It is a huge program that dictates legal cancer treatments in the United States. And cancer research is presented to the president, and Congress approves the funds paid for by taxpayers. So taxpayers pay again when these treatments are approved via Medicare and Medicaid. We keep paying, boy. The U.S. health authorities promote that we are winning the war on cancer. Their main reason is that statistics that they're publishing, they have gone down from 1 in 5 patients survive their cancer diagnosis by 5 years to 1 in 3. So the average cancer patient survives just 2 years after medical treatments. I don't call that winning, really. The main difference in the UK Cancer Act and the US Cancer Act is that if you live in the UK, you have no access to information involving natural therapeutic alternatives to dealing with your cancer. So the Minister of Health in the UK prohibits any unauthorized person from communicating alternative therapies which reverse cancer. So there's this total ban on natural cancer cures in the UK unless prescribed by a licensed doctor. So authorities state that the ban is to, you know, prevent patients from being misled, you know, getting bogus cancer therapies. I understand that. However, that is an excuse because rational people don't accept all information without considering it to be relevant. You know, people research it out. They check it out. So there is this blackout on information which does not come from the scientific community. It does it meet the critical and expensive guidelines of clinical trials, and is it administered by authorized doctors and nurses? It sounds like, you know, if we can't make money on it, we're not going to let you have it. So this is a big problem for people overseas who don't want drugs or chemo or surgery to deal with their cancer, and if that's what their doctor is prescribing for them. So do you suppose that the U.S. could maybe, you know, adopt or amend their Cancer Act and later prevent you, me, from getting information and some, you know, making our own decisions on how we want to conduct our treatment, you know, have choices? I would hope that Americans would abolish that thought, you know, and not stand for that. Well, let's look at the human cost. So if there's a gag order regarding cancer information for the people of the UK concerning that, you know, their government may move to abolish even the Human Rights Act of 1998. So the British feel their freedom of expression, their freedom of speech, and their fundamental rights are under attack. Well, they are. So what is going on in the UK is could easily happen in the US. So a strong advocate for making changes to the Human Rights Act in the UK is a career politician and a direct descendant from King William IV, who is David Cameron. So within the next year or so, he plans to motivate Parliament to replace the Human Rights Act with the British Bill of Rights. So the angle they're using is to cut ties with the European Court of Human Rights that is influencing so many of their laws right now. And so what is in the British Bill of Rights? That's the question that Brits want to know. Well, it's yet to be revealed to the Brits. They're kind of nervous about that. What could, you know, be in there? Could they lose even more rights? And they are worried that the new laws will impede their right to freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom to hold opinions, to receive and communicate ideas and information without government interference. So the British are worried that the rights being shoved down their throats, you know, protect health care and national security, will be used to cancel out their other rights, kind of similar to what you're seeing in other places, right? Well, if you want, you can check out the United Nations in Vienna download. They have a publication download. You'd be surprised some of the verbiage in there. They want to dictate family life and things like that through environmental programs. It's always through a slide door, you know. So global laws for health, kind of a stepping stone to global laws for all national resources, for building codes, for general infrastructure, for your legal system, your economy, your education, your travel, everything. So this is how it's all, you know, being weaved together. Healthcare encompasses at least a third of a nation's economy. So your daily life as the United Nations states means your health, because health is not a part of life. It is your life. So they want to regulate your life through their health plans. So the only way to monitor a large system is to incorporate a lot of electronic tracking, your RFID chips, the whole shebang. You won't have access to services without certain, I guess, IDs, if you will. So I want you to consider this lovely technology everybody is just enamored with. But I think it's also kind of a trap, if you will. All right. So I think it's really time for us to decide as Americans, you know, do we want to keep our health freedoms? Do we want to keep our free supplement market? You know, what are we willing to give up for somebody else to, I guess, monitor us? And do we really want to be monitored? I mean, I think the problem with healthcare is it's too expensive, and none of these programs, none of these new insurance programs deal with the cost of healthcare. They kind of distract you that, you know, somebody else is paying for it, but somebody has to pay for it somewhere. It's not free. Nothing's free. And so I think that's the problem when we start to expect things for free and we don't take care of ourselves the way we should. If you'd like to check out the Power Herbs ebook, it's a good place to start to empower you, get your feet wet. If you haven't used herbs and you're not sure about them, there are 13 herbs in there that won't get you into trouble. It's an ebook download. You can check it out at thepowerherbs.com and click on Books and Newsletters tab, and you can see it there. There's three different formats. There's PDF, iPad, and Kindle. So you can get this 400-page book, basically, for $14.99 and empower yourself. All right, we have a few minutes, so we're going to talk about longevity. I've talked about mortality rates, all types of diseases before. I even looked at what caused a lot of diseases 200 years ago compared to today. And we're told that experts in the 1800s, they only lived, you know, experts said people in the 1800s only lived to like 40 or 50 years of age. So we're told that, you know, hard work made our ancestors die young. So who is taking credit for humanity now living longer, you know, to be 70 or 80 years of age? Well, health experts are. The healthcare scientific medicine area, they say that their intervention of better medicines and treatments have played a role. Now, some say that it's because of better hygiene and nutrition. Others say it's because our ancestors may have died sooner. They may have traded years of a quality of life. You know, they may have, you know, just really lived a bold and useful life and then, you know, passed on at 60 or 50 years of age, whereas now if we're living to 80 years of age, is it really quality of life we have? So I was curious to see what all this looked like on paper. So I wanted to see what the cause of death 200 years ago really was. 200 years ago, a little sneeze or cough kind of raised a lot of concern for people. You know, it's almost like you were a leper or you had the plague, because respiratory diseases then were the number one killer in the 1800s. Tuberculosis killed 1 in 4. And in the 1800s, this disease was comparable to, let's say, AIDS. So tuberculosis was really not deadly to those that had healthy immune systems, and it prevented the disease from developing and growing. Also, malaria was a concern brought to the Americas in the 16th and 17th century. Parasites were a big concern, but seemed to be more severe in countries like Africa and Arabia. So health researchers feel that a treatment to remove parasitical worms using a split stick inspired the caduceus medical professional symbol with the staff and the snake. Plagues like smallpox and bubonic were another issue brought in by boatloads of the immigrants from Europe. So notice, though, the leading causes of death 200 years ago were either viruses, bacterial, or parasitical infections. That's not the case today. Let's look at the cause of death now. So the leading cause of death today is pharmaceutical drugs, number one. You know, overdoses, side effects, you name it. Drug interactions, the list is long. Number one is pharmaceutical drugs, heart diseases too, cancer, and diabetes. So deaths by viruses or bacteria don't even hold a match to the death statistics by prescription drugs. So they don't even compare to the deaths by war. So death by pharmaceutical has created a catchphrase called Pharmageddon. So are we living longer just to suffer longer? That's a question. So in a 30-year period from 1976 to 2006, 62 million Americans died, and their death certificates cited medications as the cause. And that was in the Journal of General Internal Medicine in 2010. According to the Baltimore Sun, they said 7 of the 10 top pharmaceutical drugs are used by 12th graders. Imbalance is now a disease needing allopathic treatment. An example is menopause, which is really not life-threatening, but the intervention by medicine will put you at risk of another disease like cancer and will affect your longevity. One reason that we have so many deaths by modern medicine is because drugs are prescribed for so many symptoms and patients are taking more than one drug, which don't always interact well. So when you add in a drug, you get sometimes addictions. Maybe people are taking recreational drugs with that. People are trading a relatively healthy life of 50 years for another 25 years of drug dependency with no cure. See, so many prescription drugs are made from substances that classify them as sedatives, tranquilizers, and poisons. And in many cases, prescribed medications suppress breathing and deprive the body of oxygen. So people are either overdosing or poisoning themselves on medications. The pain and antidepressant medicines are at the top of the death certificate heap. So any drug that has a heavy therapeutic use will increase your risk of death by doctor. This is a quote by Jeffrey Coben. He's professor of medicine, West Virginia University School of Medicine in Morgantown. He said many prescription drugs really are every bit as powerful, addictive, and dangerous as heroin. Yeah. So are we more advanced? I ask you. You have to ask that question. Is modern society more advanced when our ancestors with regards to the healing arts? You know, I look at this as, you know, maybe a Mother May I situation, one step forward, two back. Where medicine excels, I think, is in the field of trauma, you know, where they need to stabilize somebody. But they fail miserably, you know, with internal medicine disease, you know, and prevention. They don't prevent anything. So I think it's time we all get smart. Historical accounts by the thousands, where scientists can't even duplicate what some of our ancestors did to eradicate disease. And of course, you know, if it doesn't really, you know, make them a ton of money, they don't want to anyway. So I think if people just, you know, just take a breath, think about it. God doesn't expect you to, you know, live on pharmaceutical drugs to stay healthy. He would want you to be proactive and take care of that body he gave you. And that's why herbs are empowering to a lot of people. They're bitter compounds with lots of power. They move blood. They move mucus. They have action. And they help the body balance and heal itself. That's the beauty of it. And you don't have to worry about interactions. I mean, I don't recommend mixing your herbs with prescription drugs, but I'm just saying herbs in themselves have very few, you know, reactions unless you're naturally allergic to something. That's why I like them. They're very flexible, too, as far as dose. So check it out, thepowerherbs.com. Take the power back. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. And until next time, I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, wishing you to be well.